From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Here at the end of the year, our arts team is helping us catch up on a few releases that we've missed in 2007. In today's installment of The Ones That Got Away, we hear from Heather Chaplin, a freelance journalist who covers video games. She points to three games that weren't blockbusters like Halo 3, but that have made interesting contributions to game design and have won some dedicated fans.
You could say the mantra of the video game industry is, more is more.
It's almost like we're in the middle of a period in games that is like high opera.
That's Frank Lance, founder of New York-based game studio Area Code and a professor of game design at NYU.
Everything is Baroque, filled with extra details. Everywhere you look, there are these little Rococo embellishments on every surface. And Portal, by contrast, is minimalist.
Portal is one of Lance's favorite games of all time, he says, although he didn't design it himself.
Welcome to Test Chamber 4.
Portal takes place in a scientific research facility where you're experimenting with a new invention, a portal gun.
Vital testing apparatus destroyed.
You don't kill anything with it. You blast a hole through one wall, and when you step into it, you find yourself stepping out of another portal somewhere else entirely.
You stick your foot in over here, and you can kind of see it come out over there as it's happening. It feels so tactile and natural and real that you just kind of accept it. And the thing you're accepting is totally surreal.
Vital testing apparatus destroyed.
It's hard to get your mind around at first, but in Portal, you're solving puzzles by creating wrinkles in space.
And once you've been in this space and played with this twisted physics for a while, it becomes intuitive to you. And it's an amazing feeling for something that is impossible to feel natural and intuitive.
There are only two characters in the game. You and the artificial intelligence that guides you through the facility.
As part of a required test protocol, our previous statement suggesting that we would not monitor this chamber was an outright fabrication.
Her name is Gladys.
Good job.
At first, you think Gladys is a neutral voice dishing out instructions for how to play the game. But Gladys becomes more like an overbearing mother figure who simultaneously wants to insult you and feed you chocolate cake.
Now use the Aperture Science unstationary scaffold to reach the chamber lock.
Portal echoes with references to 2001 A Space Odyssey, but it's all done with a kind of knowing wink at the audience.
It actually feels literary in a way, and the strangeness of the setting and the core premise, it almost is like a kind of Borgesian, like this weird metaphysical fairy tale.
Portal actually started out as a student project before Valve Software hired the students involved to turn it into a commercial game. Another breakthrough game this year, Everyday Shooter, also comes from a recent college graduate, Jonathan Mack. Mack's original ambition was to make a totally innovative game that would blow all other games out of the water. It didn't work.
Of course, not a lot of people played it, and even I didn't like it very much. So I just decided to, you know, simplify and say to myself, listen, you can't handle that yet. Let's just go back to basics and see if we can do that properly. And that's Everyday Shooter.
Everyday Shooter is part concept album, part video game. It's an updated collection of arcade-style shooters like Asteroids or Missile Command. Hits explode in chain reactions of vivid colors and vibrate to the sound of an electric guitar. There are no sound effects in Everyday Shooter, just the guitar tracks Mack laid down himself. With Everyday Shooter, Mack was determined to make something simple, but that also adhered to his own personal vision. Mack himself struggles to describe it.
It's a celebration of geometric sexuality. It's geometric shapes, but morphing and modulating in the same way that a synthesizer would morph and modulate mathematical waveforms.
Mack followed the classic model of the starving artist to create Everyday Shooter. He turned down a corporate job and spent a lot of time pacing the floor of his one-bedroom basement apartment. With a cheap electric guitar and an out-of-date computer, he followed his electronic vision wherever it took him.
You know, over the course of a night, a level would go from being having this soccer influence because I thought, hey, it'd be fun to kick a ball around, but using shooting mechanics, to being this level full of eyeballs. And I don't know how that happened, but it's just following this sort of subconscious stream of thought, I guess.
For Mack, who is only 25 years old, game making is about expressing your personality. figuring out how to translate for the world what's going on inside of you.
The game only lives in your head, really. And then when you get to that moment, you sort of see the game and it's running and you can play it and you realize to yourself, wow, I sort of gave birth to this thing. And then, you know, the next 6 hours just pacing back and forth, comprehending what just happened.
While most game makers work in large corporate teams on projects doled out by company marketing departments, Mac is determined to maintain a solo career. And he's cool with whatever the consequences are because he's made a rule for himself. As long as he's proud of his work, he wins. Jekka Tati's rules for herself are quite different. She's a press officer with the United Nations, disciplined and competitive. Her rules involve how and when she gets to unwind. These days, the rules are mostly about a video game called Desktop Tower Defense.
So it's the reward when I get home from work, and that's often when my parents will call too, which is the problem with taking phone calls. And I've definitely not answered the phone when people have called, and I'm in an intense part of the game.
What makes Desktop Tower Defense so consuming is it's short and easy to learn. Like Freecell or Minesweeper, it's what the industry calls a casual game. For Toddy, a former Minesweeper junkie, the attraction was immediate. In Desktop Tower Defense, you drag towers onto your desktop and arrange them in mazes to stop creeps from crossing from one side of your screen to the other. They're cute, like the whole game, which looks like a teenager doodled it. When you drag in a new tower, you hear scratching sounds as if someone somewhere were scribbling in a notebook. You can play the game absent-mindedly while you're talking on the phone, or you can go for seriously deep strategic thinking, like Toddy does.
It's this way of constantly testing yourself and figuring out how to beat this thing. You know, it's the same as like playing with a Rubik's Cube or whatever. How can you solve this puzzle?
Life is complicated, Toddy says, and it's nice to feel a sense of accomplishment every day, even if it's just from a game. For NPR News, I'm Heather Chaplin.